97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, it was a great, great day for Philadelphia Eagles fans across the Delaware Valley. It was really great right from the opening kickoff, quite frankly. 35-10 victory over the Titans to improve to 11-1 on the season. They have 5 games remaining. It's unbelievable when you say it like that. The next 3 are on the road. We won't see them at Lincoln Financial Field until 2023 on New Year's Day. D. Lynam, Ray Dunn, Dan Fritz, all in the house tonight, keeping you company until 10 o'clock. And there's a lot of good vibes coming off a game like that. Not a whole lot of complaints. And really, you can start to look down the road and what the possibilities of postseason play will be like. I mean, you don't like to get too far ahead of yourself. You have the Giants on the road next week, followed by the Cowboys, followed by the Bears, and then home with the Saints, and then wrap it up with the Giants at home in week 18. I always have to remind myself it's week 18.
18 of them now.
I know.
It's too much.
Yeah. So if I said to you, Ray, your thoughts as you were watching the game unfold, what would be the first thing that jumped out to you?
Immediately when I started to watch the game, it was the frustration of the early penalties, but by the end of it, it was coasting. It was just pure enjoyment, pure reveling, basking in what you were watching, because this is what you thought this team was, and they went out there and proved it to you against a team that's going to win their division. Like, you can take a lot away from this Titans team if you want to. They've dealt with injuries. You can say what you will about Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback. You can say what you will about their division and what they're winning over there and how many hollow victories they may have, but guess what? That's a team that's going to be in the postseason, and you took it to them for the entirety of the game, and you crushed them.
Yeah. I would say a couple of things. So first of all, the way that the Eagles marched down the field on their opening drive was so easy. Ridiculous. Once the Titans tied it at 7-7, I thought it was critical that when they got down in the red zone and they tried to get the Eagles offsides, they were the ones who took the 5-yard penalty. And now where they possibly could have gotten a touchdown that would have tied it, instead, they have to kick the field goal, and you end up with only 10 points there. You go into the locker room. You score again. You go in up 21-10, and you shut them out in the second half.
That end of the second quarter was huge. What you're talking about, that scenario, also just scoring the touchdown, then the back and forth in that last 2 minutes where it's like, no, you're not going to score. You're not going to make this close at the end.
Right.
You had the just garbage Devontae Smith catch that went for like 40 yards, where it was like, can they pull this together in 20 seconds to get another point?
Right.
A little greedy on that, but that end of second quarter scenario where you're really looking at a team that got its distance and was able to sustain that for the entire second half, and it was a complete game. I know the conversation of, oh, is this the most complete win they've had, where it has come up, and I listened to Connor and Tom coming in. When you think back to that Minnesota game, because a lot of people are going to compare it, I think, this week to that, they were able to come out the second half, add to their lead, and sustain the defensive pressure they were able to put on in the first half, able to adjust in the second half to what the Titans were going to try and do to attack and get back in this game and keep them at bay throughout the entire time.
And just going to your second quarter, anybody see the graphics where their 164 second quarter points that they've scored this season is the most for any NFL team in any quarter this year? And they had at that 14 they added on there today. The other thing I would say, that's as good as the defense for me, including the fact that they tackled well. So that combination I thought was huge. You hold Derrick Henry to his second fewest yards on the season. Believe it or not, Buffalo in week 2 actually held him to 25 yards. I was kind of surprised.
It's an impressive front there, too.
Yeah. So today he has 11 carries for only 30 yards. And part of that, I take away, you know, going into play the Giants next week and Saquon. Saquon has only had 3 100-yard rushing games this year. And he hasn't done it. It'll be a month because it was 4 games ago since he's had a 100-yard rushing game. So I think that performance defensively against one of the best in the business, and you're going to see a really, really strong running back again next week. I like what you did this week. You can carry that over. Obviously, it'll have to be done on the road. You know, you can't say enough about Jalen Hurts. these numbers that this guy puts up are mind-boggling. It's really amazing.
If he was three-quarters of what he is right now, if you gave that to us at the beginning of the season, everyone in Philadelphia would take that. He was three-quarters of the player he's become right now. Everyone would be like, all right, yeah, sign me up for that. That's a guy that's going to get us to the playoffs. I'm cool with that. The fact that he's taken this big of a leap, and this game specifically where you come into it blindly and you're like, okay, they're going to try and take away the run from you, and they are really, really going to force him to be in the pocket early on in the game. What are you going to get from him? And you got a thoroughly dominant performance from a quarterback that is either the MVP or the MVP runner-up through 12 weeks of the season.
Right. So 380 passing yards, three touchdowns. He rushed in for one for himself.
Of course. He has to have it.
Yeah. He doesn't throw an interception. I think the one person who does not seem surprised is himself. I think he has such a nice poise and demeanor, and yet he is fiercely competitive. And I think that's a little rare sometimes to find that humbleness in somebody who's playing as well as he has, and the world doubting him to the degree they doubted him coming into the season. And now here you are, you know, 12 games later, and you could be saying, you know, who's laughing last?
And there's a reason he's like the one player throughout Nick Saban's career that's made Nick Saban cry when he left him, because he is the perfect, like, ultimate Alabama player where it's like, yeah, I threw for 380, but there was one pass in the second quarter that could have got me over 400, and that would have made this a 30-point game, and I wish I had hit that, and, you know, we could have done this better. We haven't accomplished anything. We have to keep moving forward. He is the ultimate what Nick Saban preaches and what is perfect for this locker room of, hey, we're good, but this is not the end goal. If you are sitting here happy with the Titans win, and this is what you think you came here to do, to beat the Titans in early December, you're in the wrong place. Like, that's the ultimate guy you want on your side of, let's go keep our focus on what the big goal is and not let, you know, small victories keep our egos, you know, inflated. Let's keep the egos in check. Let's go on to next week. Let's win again.
His receivers were outstanding today. The storyline with A.J. Brown, we all know it. The Titans were the team that drafted him. They were also the team that traded him this offseason to the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, everybody handles that situation when you play your former team in their own way. Nick Sirianni had said that he thought he loved the way A.J. Brown had practiced all week. He thought he had his emotions in check. And then he goes out and he has 119 yards and the two touchdowns. Well, he had one that was originally called a touchdown, but we all could see his foot was out of bounds. On the very next play, I said to myself, I can't believe how wide open he was. Something had to happen. And it was actually illegal hands on the defensive player. And that was why he was all by himself and waltzed in. I thought his second real touchdown, so one guy called back, and that becomes his second real touchdown. The way he grabbed that ball was unbelievable. I mean, that should be on, Dan, tell me if I'm wrong, that should be on You Got Mossed next week.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right? I mean, he literally takes it
Force of nature.
Of the guy's hands. And I loved his explanation because he is right. He has the advantage of being able to see where the ball is. The other guy doesn't. Right. So I get it. But you still got to grab the ball and hold on to it.
Yeah.
With the body right on you.
Pee wee football or something. Got to hold on to the ball.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm always looking for, you know, people that I like or I know to be on You Got Mossed. I love that segment.
It's a fantastic segment.
It really is.
I mean, the basis of it also is fantastic. You sit down and get dropped into a rabbit hole of Randy Moss highlights. You can be stuck there for an hour.
This is true.
If his name Sanchez doesn't come up, you're good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to tell you that after the Eagles, because it was a waltz into victory, I did flip over and watch the end of the Commanders and the Giants. And the part that I think is so interesting here, remember how horrible the NFC East was last year and people loved talking about how bad that division is.
NFC East, bad, huh?
And now you actually have teams that are competitive. I hate ties. I hate them.
It's awful.
Yeah.
No need for that. There is no. We are almost at 2023. As a society, we need to move past the need for ties in our great sport of football. Just keep playing.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to score eventually. Well, they would have eventually scored on that, on the play that that ended the game. They just ran out of time.
And both these teams started to play for the tie.
Yeah, like they, right, exactly.
The Giants are like, oh, well, you know, we can't move it. Like, we can't, because this is the whole thing about the first score wins. You're at midfield. There's a chance you could go for it on like a 4th and 3. And you're, you know, let's punt because the last thing we need is not getting this. The other team scoring this thing.
I wish
over.
They would revisit that. That is just terrible. Anyhow, but there are some good teams there in the East. And two of them, the Eagles are going to see in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is a massive win over the Titans just for the fact of where you're set up. Like, the schedule makers did you favors early on, but there's no favors in a 3-week stretch in December where you're on the road each week, two of those being division games against teams in your division that are right now in the postseason picture. I personally am not one that thinks this Giants team is in it for the long haul. I think that they
Everybody keeps saying that, though, right? And they're still here.
They are still here. They're very much still here. I mean, looking at the rest of the NFC right now, it's not exactly a powerhouse conference outside of the top, like, four teams.
Yeah.
So the Giants have had the beneficiary of that. And today, again, I think if the Commanders or the Giants both aren't playing for ties, somebody in that overtime wins that out. I thought the Commanders really underperformed throughout the early part of that game. I didn't really like what I had seen because I wanted to go back and see some of what had happened while I was so locked in on the Eagles. Again, I don't love the Giants as a team, but you're on the road against them next week. And that's being on the road in December against a divisional opponent. You can't rule that out as something going to happen. Justin Fields and the Bears, the week after that, they're playing pretty well with Fields as the quarterback. They lose, say, the Packers, but he's a threat. And then the Cowboys. Christmas Eve. Circle it on your calendars. We've had circle all year. That feels like the game for the division.
Possibly. I mean, you got a couple in hand against them, so.
Absolutely, but they right now are rolling on all cylinders. The Eagles, you would have to bank on the Eagles not to slip up again at all this season. And it's tough for me to envision finishing 16-1. 15-2 might get the job, would get the job done if you finish 15-2, but I would be surprised if they don't slip up again this year. It's nice to get this Titans win because now it's the Giants and Bears before that Cowboys game, and again, you tend to think you'd have those two going into a game against the Cowboys, and you still
I mean, my point is, right, the Cowboys have three losses.
Correct.
So if you have three, you're saying that the Cowboys are going to win out. That's basically what you're saying.
Right now, the way they're playing, I wouldn't be surprised if they win by 15-plus tonight against the Colts. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to win throughout the rest of their schedule. It's not, their schedule isn't particularly difficult, and I think they're playing very, very good football. Like,
Colts,
the Eagles game would
Texans,
be
Texans, Jaguars, then the Eagles game. Then they are at the Titans, and they wrap it up against the Commanders.
So they would have to win. I think today puts you in a spot where if you don't get the number one seed, it's pretty much at this point for the rest of the regular season because the way you're set up against the Cowboys. But that Cowboys game, I think they'll go into it with the division clinching possibility right in hand. And you win that game, you take care of it, and then you figure out the last 2 weeks, depending on seeding, what you're going to do the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you happen to lose that game, you would have split with the Cowboys.
Right.
And so then we'll go elsewhere for the tiebreaker.
Yeah, absolutely. We go elsewhere, and it depends where you slip. If you are to slip up and the division becomes a problem, it depends where you're slipping up the rest of the way. If you're slipping up in division games against the Giants, then it gets a little more hairy. Like, again, the Eagles just have to take care of what they have to take care of. I'm thrilled with the result today. I think they're going to take care of what they need to take care of. But I think that game on Christmas Eve, your Christmas could be celebrating an NFC East title that night.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I care about is be the best team in the NFC so that you have the top seed like you did in 2017 so that you host a game, you have a bye. And
yeah, it's the most important thing right now with the seven teams. It's the most important thing in the world because you're the only team that gets to sit there in your conference and watch as everyone else feasts on one another for an extra week.
Yeah. And today I didn't see, but I know that Garoppolo suffered a left foot injury for the Niners because the Niners have been playing good.
Absolutely.
Football too. I have no idea who their third string quarterback is.
Brock Purdy, the pride of Iowa State.
How's Rock doing?
Who?
I know.
Purdy, I think, had them winning
Yeah, because
at one point they were beating. I have not seen the scores. I could pull that up right now. See what
I can look, but because I had the red zone on, obviously
they are up 16 on the Dolphins right now.
Wow. 33-17.
The 49ers machine keeps on churning.
Well, because
at home
they're
with Brock Purdy.
Well, the reason is because they are so strong in other areas.
Oh, absolutely. They might again
defensively
to steal from Tyler Zuli here. They might be the most talented team on paper in the entire league.
Yeah. Well, but most people would knock the quarterback
right
prior before he went down today.
Even quarterback though, exclusive, I guess, outside of that.
Even
roster.
Though I say he still wins. Garoppolo
unbelievable
wins.
How they make that happen.
I know. Yeah. So that would be a team. I guess I was listening to or watching early prior to all the games kicking off, and I like hearing what the national teams think about, like, are the Eagles the best team in the NFL? And they would say the best in the NFC, and they'd put them up there with Kansas City, Buffalo, would be like, those teams are good, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Eagles are going to get kind of put behind those two because everyone coming into the season was like, those were the teams.
They've been there.
And they've been there. They've done it. But I think if after today you're questioning yourself whether this is the best team in the NFC, you're doing yourself a disservice. I think this is the best team in the NFC.
I would say that it is. I would also say some of these other teams that had slow starts, because there were slow starts to some.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 49ers aren't the team they expected to be.
And the Cowboys would be the other one.
Right, and they didn't expect Cooper Rush to be their starter, so I agree with you. Yeah.
Meaning the competition when the postseason rolls around, even if you do deem yourself the best in that conference, you have good competition coming at you.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will have to duke out and somebody gets pushed to the wayside, so you won't have to, you know, see two of the best.
Right. And if you get that number one seed and there are two games to be played in South Philadelphia that will determine going to the Super Bowl, I'm very comfortable with that scenario. Like, the number one seed to me, if they get the number one seed and they don't end up in the Super Bowl, that's a disappointment.
Sure.
Because you're going to have those teams coming here, coming to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Top seed, you'll have had the week off. The expectation there, you have a very much an easier route to just running your way into the Super Bowl. And then see what happens if you get a Chiefs, Bills, or someone surprises us out of the AFC.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. What is your reaction to not just the victory, 35-10 over the Titans, but also to be 11-1 this deep into the 2022 season? I mean, I don't think anybody picked this.
No. I remember I was training, and it was the three of us were talking prop bets before the season, and we all were like, yeah, confident on the wins over, but this was about 11 wins was about, and most of the city was like, 11 wins is about where I would say this is.
Yeah, and I said,
good.
I remember I said, I'm being forced to pick 11 because it's a 17 game season.
Right.
Now, you can, you know, 10-6 was what
exactly.
But I couldn't pick 10 because it's there of the extra game. So I had to go with the line that Vegas was giving us.
And now, if everyone listened on that prop bet to our advice, congratulations today on your winnings cashing.
Right. And the other one, I tried to go back and see what the odds in August for Jalen Hurts to win the MVP versus what they are today.
You've been getting a healthy return.
Yeah, if you made it in August.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Don't waste your time doing it now.
No. Might as well not.
No. I mean, find something else that's a little more intriguing for maybe even another sport that you still have the time to cash in on something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you would have to, let's see. That's a good one. We'll figure out our next prop to give people. The three of us have to figure that out.
If somebody made that bet.
Oh, 1,000%.
Absolutely made that bet on Jalen being the MVP. I had said, I don't know that I can think of a scenario where somebody went into a season with, and it's not so much doubt, but the not knowing who this guy will be for our team, even though you had him for a full season last year, but you didn't have the weapons around him. And for him to deliver in this kind of way, I can't think of another scenario. Usually it's the person, and it's also because of the position. You know, that position is so critical.
And locally, you have to go back for that type of doubt. I think even after Carson Wentz's rookie year, people were like, yeah, I feel comfortable with Wentz making the growth.
And he was also selected number two overall.
Right. So he also had that, like,
yeah,
he was first round pick. We got to keep moving with him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a call from Ed in Elkins Park. Ray, can you punch it up? Because this phone is messed up. Ed, what's going on?
Yeah, I'd just like to talk about Jalen Hurts. I think his mental toughness is the whole thing that runs everything. And there was an article today in the paper about the comparison to his predecessor. And that's the whole difference in the world. And he also improved his physical football skills enough. But when you have that mental toughness and never give up attitude and takes everything one play at a time and he's in the game, that's the whole key. I mean, you know, it's set, match, and point with our championship.
Yeah.
And how he made the best, in retrospect, he made the best pick of all time. And all the doubt when he was drafted, I remember that night on the radio. It was like, what are they doing? Well, he's turned out to be, at worst, the number three quarterback in the whole league and getting better.
Yeah, that's the big question. Did Howie know at the time he selected Jalen Hurts that he had a problem with Carson Wentz? That's really what it comes down to.
Many would suggest yes, that at that point there was something behind the scenes.
We didn't know. What is he doing?
What's happening here? And I remember that night, everyone was just confused. I think there was a lot of holes in that team, and it was like, really? You're going to go with the quarterback instead of trying to fill any of the holes
yet? And there were a lot to fill.
It was similar to, and I don't want to compare accomplishments of quarterbacks, but when the Packers took Love.
Yep.
And everyone was like, first round pick on a quarterback when you've got Aaron Rodgers, there's so many holes in this Packers team to get them further. And you're sitting there like, okay, this is something definitely off organizationally. Everyone kind of had that similar, but it was like, why are you doing this when you feel like you have the quarterback of the future?
The only difference with the Eagles situation was that Carson did have injury history.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers.
Right. And the thing was, Aaron Rodgers was aging. It was like, okay, maybe they're getting their, you know, the replacement, the way they did Rodgers Favre type of thing. But it was curious for me when it was, you just paid Carson Wentz.
That's true.
The Carson Wentz extension, it's going to be hard to move off that. And man, how are we getting out of that contract? It's still robbery to this day. He's robbed a lot of general managers out there. That's robbery still to this day, being able to get out of that.
Good point by you, Ed. I hope you enjoyed the game.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to the Super Bowl.
All right, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. Nick, I hope you'll sit tight. We'll come to you on the other side. It's been a big Eagles day, 35-10. Do you know, I went to get something to eat. Somebody actually called the establishment where I was eating and said, are you showing the World Cup? First of all, the U.S. is out. Two, the Eagles were playing, and it's like, no.
That's not knowing your city right there. That's
no
not knowing
cares.
Your city.
Who would do that? Anyhow, we'll continue the Eagles conversation on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, it was an afternoon where the ball was in the air a whole lot, and the Eagles finished with 350-plus receiving yards after they had 350-plus rushing yards last week. And
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Jalen Hurts did, on a day where there wasn't a whole lot of rushing, did get a rushing touchdown, so he now has 9 of those. And that would lead the most at the quarterback position of rushing touchdowns this year. Not surprised. He just keeps on keeping on. And their next outing will be a division foe. They will travel to play the New York Giants next Sunday, 1 o'clock game. I probably should have started to look at the weather. I always think how cold, rain, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it'll start 3 weeks in a row where they are on the road. It'll go Giants, Cowboys, and then Justin Fields and the Bears.
For next week in New York. So, of course, in New Jersey. We got a caveat. Same thing going on out there. 45 degrees and sunny right now.
Piece
rain
of cake.
In the forecast leading up on Friday and Saturday.
But, I like it.
There you go. 45 degrees. That's perfect.
I used to have to make that journey when the Eagles played the Giants back in the day when I was still covering. There were some bad weather days that I had up there.
And were you on the sidelines or were you up in the box?
Great question. I remember once that I was down on the field and it was freezing because I can remember the coat I wore and I was like, God, it was wool. Nowadays, you'd wear a down jacket.
Right.
Like, I don't know why I probably didn't own one back then. So you would be up there. Usually I would be up there, but because we would do like hits and stuff in the we did things differently back then.
Right.
And so downstairs was where I was.
And you can obviously remember very clearly the ones that were cold. The other ones,
I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you remember the ones where it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to feel my hands when I get out of here.
Yeah. And the other thing I remember covering some of them were the Runyon Strahan battles.
Oh, that must have been so much fun.
Those were great. Those were awesome.
Any memorable sound? You remember anything? Any memorable like quotes that stick out from covering those?
Not really. Only because, I'd be lying if I actually remembered. Like, I can remember. You know what it is? It's because you interview so many people.
Yeah.
You know,
it
all goes together. And the things I remember are the things that people play all the time. You know?
Right. It's in our sound drop system.
Yeah, exactly. So I do remember being there when they lost a playoff game and David Akers refused to talk to the media. It was the year where he had an unbelievable, I forget, it might have been, I don't know how many he missed, but he misses this one in the playoff game. And, I mean, as a reporter, you don't get that guy. Your place of employment is not very happy, but he didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
What can I do? So
that's always brutal when you're just like, we need something, anything, please.
Yeah. So anyhow, but they're always good division battles. I'm trying to think, I never traveled to Dallas. So my Washington and New York were the two that I would always go to. And nothing beat the Giants matchups back then.
And I assume the accommodations of the stadium are much nicer in East Rutherford compared to FedEx Field.
Yeah. Oof. Well, yeah, exactly. It's been a while since I've gone there. I'd also remember occasionally when they would play the Ravens. I do like that stadium.
MT Bank, yeah, I like it down there. I went down there for a Steelers-Ravens game once.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to sit right behind a group of people all in Hayden Hurst jerseys.
Oh.
So, and that was before Hayden Hurst, I think, was even their starting tight end. So he had just been drafted. And when I tell you, it was like all his friends. Anytime he touched the field, it wasn't like there was that.
He didn't even have to do anything great. He just had to be out there.
He could miss a block and they would be cheering because everyone's looking at him. Like they were the biggest Hayden Hurst fans ever. It was really cool to be sitting near them. Of course, my friend still is a Steelers fan and he was having a fun back and forth with them. And that's a nice rivalry, the Steelers-Ravens dynamic down there. And I got to experience that one firsthand. But I like it down there at T-Bank Stadium.
Speaking of which, so let's just run down some of the scores from today. The Steelers were 19-16 winners over the Falcons. I thought that game would be not fun to watch. Two teams that have 5 wins on the season. The Packers pick up a W against the Bears, 28-19. I'd like to see what Justin Fields, because he was back this week.
He had a great touchdown run. It was 50-plus yards touchdown run for him.
He was 20 of 25 for 254 yards. He did throw 2 interceptions. And then I'll trust you on the touchdown. Oh, yeah. It was 55 yards because he had six carries for 71 total, but the 55 was a touchdown.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers authoring another comeback against that Bears team. They were down, I think it was 19-10 at one point in the third quarter, and they went on and just went on a tear in that fourth quarter, and Aaron Rodgers once again, now they are the winningest franchise in NFL history. I believe that's what they accomplished today. They were tied with the Bears. They couldn't have lined up for a better script. And they now beat the Bears, and now they have the most wins.
The Lions, who I think a lot of people feel are knocking on the door, generally speaking, they playing better football, but don't have the victories per se to the degree that they would like. But they had a big win over the Jaguars, where they scored 40 points, 40-14 at home. So they're 5-7. The Vikings beat the Jets. Those Vikings, I know everybody says, we beat them. But they're, you know, racking up wins. They're 10-2. So I do keep an eye there. And then, of course, was the tie between the Commanders and the Giants. You know what? You should get penalized when you try to make a tie and not actually win.
It's dope. I'm so mad at, like, it's just such a maddening thing to be sitting there watching the last 3 minutes of a football game. And neither of the teams is trying to actively win. They're actively trying to not lose.
Right.
Both of you deserve a loss.
Trying
if you're
not to lose.
Put me through that.
We were talking about Jimmy G, and he's going to have season-ending surgery because he broke his left foot. I at one point heard that Lamar Jackson had left the game.
Yeah, he was out for the entire game.
Oh, okay.
He did not come back. The Ravens, however, did come back.
Yeah, what a score. 10-9?
Yeah.
My God, Russell
so
has
funny.
To be.
Funny. I feel bad, so bad for Denver fans. It's just so funny to watch from the outside.
Oof.
They're doing the tracker. I talked about this at one point, with a tracker of number of bathrooms in Russell Wilson's house to a number of touchdown passes he's thrown.
Oh,
he's
my
in
God.
Very near danger of having more bathrooms in his house than passing touchdowns.
How did I miss that? I didn't even know
it's
they
incredible.
Were doing
it's
that.
My favorite running bit right now. I think it's a TikTok that just keeps making its way onto my Twitter feed.
That is too funny. And Geno Smith just keeps on keeping on.
He hasn't written back.
It's unbelievable. 27-23 over the Rams, on the road nonetheless. And so they are 7-5. I know they put up a NFC kind of board with who's where.
Right.
We mentioned that the 49ers, behind the heroics of Brooke Purdy, came back and beat the Dolphins 33-17. Bengals came back. Joe Burrow with a drive to lift his team to that 3-point victory.
They still don't have Joe Mixon, too. Which is crazy about that team. Like, they're starting to figure it out, and they looked like defense looked pretty solid against the Chiefs early on in the early portions of that game I caught before I was coming here. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about the Bengals again late in the January. It's
Joe.
A fun team to watch.
I think so too. And I like Joe Burrow.
He's so cool.
He just
radiates coolness.
He does.
It's a lot of fun to watch him, to watch Chase. The personality that comes out between those two guys
is pretty cool. And then the Raiders beat the Chargers 27-20. So that was the week, or the Sunday, I should say, in the NFL. And now, of course, we have the Cowboys and the Colts. I didn't even look at what the Monday night. Oh, Buccaneers, because I was going to say I didn't see. They still lead their division, the Buccaneers, even though they're 5-6.
Yeah. If it was the NFC East, we'd be hearing the NFC East complaints. But because Tom Brady's going to get in the postseason, let's keep it nice and quiet about our complaints about what's happening down there
in the
NFC
man.
South.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
The old man.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. It was a fun day to watch the Eagles, though, that's for sure. And now you turn the page and you start looking ahead to next week. I wonder what the early line on that will be. I'm going to say, just don't tell me yet. I'm going to say, because you are on the road, Giants do have 7 wins. I still think the Eagles will be favored. I'm going to say they're going to be +4. I mean, -4.
Right. Eagles, I knew we were going there. Eagles -6.5.
Wow.
In the
really
early return. Yeah.
On the road. Huh.
On the road. People, maybe Vegas feels similarly than I do about the Giants and really bought into this Eagles victory against the Titans. But
well,
that's
true. To put up 35 on that defense is no small deal.
Right, yeah, and you know, you had mentioned it just kind of about Saquon and the way to beat the Eagles. do the Giants have the formula? This is spinning our entire talking point to next week after a nice victory just hours ago.
Sure.
But do the Giants have the formula? Can they pull off what it takes to beat the Eagles when we've seen the Eagles be beaten before?
I mean, I think one of the things I hear people say, the Eagles would have to beat themselves.
Right.
And one of the things is, you know, they're not turning the ball over. And that's huge. Because if somebody's going to, right, Jalen only has 3 interceptions on the year.
I believe that's right, yeah. It's the trust you have in him to make the right decision.
Now, I thought special teams was good today, but they could be something that you say, oh, my God. You know what I mean?
Right, as we write today's performance of the offensive line with the penalties, I say, oh, this might be a one-time thing. Very much could be a one-time thing for the special teams where we sit here and say, this was great.
Yeah, they said today he was, Covey was back there. I didn't realize this. Did you guys hear that he's somehow related to Jeffrey Lurie?
This explains a little bit.
No, somebody told me that. I said, I gotta look into that. That there's some...
handing this off to the research department right now. I'm going to figure this one out for us.
Yeah, these two people were talking about it. But then he had a good game. He was fine. That was not... there was no issue there today. And on the post-game show, like watching of NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jaws actually said he thought the Titans helped him out by over-kicking, so he had so much more time than he normally did in weeks leading up to this, where he could get a start, you know, making his way upfield that he hasn't had in recent games in the past. So, yeah, we can check into it. I don't know.
Deep dive here on Covey.
Yeah, deep dive.
Figure this one out.
But Sirianni did say he thought all 3 phases... all 3 played well today.
Yeah, and I would agree. When we go back to the most complete, that phrase that's going to get thrown around with this team, you do feel very good about just every part of what you saw on the football field
today. I think so, yeah.
You really would have to be pulling at straws outside of the penalties to be upset with what you saw today.
Right. And the penalties, the reason that you probably aren't going to be too upset is because you were so dominant on the offensive side of the ball, and those were all pre-snap, 11 of them.
Right. Could they have gotten to 40-something points, you know? Like
maybe, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
You're nitpicking against a team that did put up 35.
That's exactly it, where you're like, I'm upset that they didn't pick up a first down on this play because of that penalty. It's like, yeah, there were a lot of penalties. I mean, I don't want to see it
if
continue.
If it were right around the over-under and you didn't get your bet because it was right there and those 11 flags maybe cost you a
610-632-0975. If you didn't hit the over because of the Eagles penalties, we want to hear from you and your frustration.
I wonder what the over under was. It had to be a low number because that by far was the most the Titans had given up to an opponent this year.
Yeah, they had, by halftime, the Eagles had already put up the most points since week 2 on them?
Yeah.
Or week 2, week 3?
And that was 21. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Yeah, it was all around.
I've got it here.
All right,
44.5 was your over-under. Oh. If you had the over, half a point, you got it. Congratulations, the penalties didn't get you.
It's amazing how close that always is.
They're good.
44, they are. So Devon and Tyler, like last week, made me play their Friday game with them where I had to pick 3 games. It was my first appearance, and I hit 2 out of 3, and the 2 I hit was exactly like that, 1 point. I cannot, those people, I'm not sure they make enough money for the stress that I would have.
Just watching that, knowing how much money that whatever you set is determining right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna once again admit to this, I had another 1-2 week with them. I can't have a winning week with them because I had to do it again with them this week when I was on with Devon.
On
Friday.
With me the time we did it.
So I was 1-2 at the start of the season.
Last week,
guess what happened?
1-2.
1-2. The Eagles were the one I won.
Last week, I think it was me and Devon.
Ryan, who else did you have?
I had the Raiders. I had the Chargers beating the Raiders because the Raiders are favored by 1 point. And
I wouldn't have touched that.
I believe the Chargers are a superior football team to the Raiders.
How'd that work out today?
It did not. This is what I'm admitting. Dan, I'm
and don't point that finger at me. I'll point another one back.
Dan, and the thing is that I won't touch the Eagles when I make these things because I'd rather watch the game, know that I'm just coming in and can talk about the game.
Would be,
if I make that pick, I'm watching the game in a different light, and I don't like it.
I felt,
even though it can be a comfortable pick.
That's what it was for me. I felt more comfortable about this game than I did the week before, so I felt that they were going to...
Yeah, and that was -4.5.
Yeah, it was -4.5, and by the end of it...
Can you believe that... So that's how much faith they're putting in that win over the Titans, that number is going up against the Giants on the road next week.
Oh, and then I had Commanders -2.5. Which...
No wonder that tie
tie gets under, like, even regardless of the pick I had.
Yeah, I know, because they weren't trying to win.
Right. Yeah. Even the Giants. I'm watching the Giants at midfield. You're at midfield. Why are you doing this?
They did try and picked up two plays where they got the extra yards. First of all, the one they threw over the middle of the field.
Yes.
And they got down there in time to spike it. And then he still did get two passes to the sideline. I mean, that guy, 58, was not impossible.
No, that possession I was fine with. It was the possession before.
Before they were
at midfield, it was like 4th and 3. And I see the logic of like, okay, if we don't pick this up.
Now we're giving them a chance
to score.
With 90 seconds.
Right. I'm also like... Let's roll the dice. Let's go. Like when you have the option for a tie, you have three results where two of them at this point you are cool with. You're cool with winning. You're cool with the tie. So you're like, okay, the one we don't like is the most likely if we don't pick this up. If you're a 50-50 coin toss of like, okay, either we're going to win this or lose this, I'm thinking that time you might roll the dice. Whereas if you're win-loss tie, you're not going to roll the dice at all.
If I'm near the midfield and it's a minute and a half, and yeah, I got to punt it.
That's fine. I'm of the thought you're 4th and 3. There's belief in this team to go make that play. Like if you're going to go for the win, I would rather go down. If the choice is win or loss, I would rather go down trying to win. When there's a tie, I understand.
Yeah, but here's my thing. I don't think at that point they were trying to not lose because they end up. They did everything right to get the ball back. They took their timeouts. They did everything they could to get the ball back, and they got in a position for a guy to kick a 58-yarder. I mean, he has kicked a 61.
Yeah, listen, it ended up working out for them. I understand the outcome is there. They gave the ball back to the Commanders, and the Commanders also...
Well, they were pinned deep.
They were pinned, and no one decided to block Thibodeau, which was nuts. He gets... sack... Heineke at the one, and at that point, okay, they're going to run on this next play. And then they run, give themselves some space, and on third and long, they're like, you know what? We would rather run it here and run the risk of the Giants turning around something instead of trying to throw the ball, pick up the first down. And that, to me, where you're playing, okay, you're playing, I'm just going to run the risk of, hey, Gano's going to have to hit a long field goal for them to win it.
Well, I'll just go back to the Giants. I think the Giants were playing to get that win. I really believe they thought they would kick a game-winning field goal. It didn't happen, but I do believe that's the philosophy.
Yeah, the thought of we're going to get 3 and out.
Yes, exactly. That is
and
exactly.
That could be the way of thinking. I just wouldn't try and give the ball back. I'd just go for it.
All right. Well, let's get Dan on. Not you, the Dan from Omaha.
Hey, D, how's it going?
It's going. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, real quick for my Eagles. I think you'll appreciate this as a basketball connoisseur. Big upset in Omaha today. Nebraska beat No. 7 Creighton this afternoon in basketball.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Very. That was in Nebraska? Meaning not on Creighton's home floor?
No, it was in Omaha. It was on Creighton's home floor.
Oh, it was on their home floor. All right.
First time Nebraska's won at Creighton in the regular season since 1995.
Oh, wow. My God. That's crazy.
I've heard other people say this, and I gotta echo it. I am so happy that we did not go after Russell Wilson, or if we did, he didn't choose us.
Yeah.
Because, see, here's the thing that drives me nuts. I mean, I'm sure it drives you guys nuts because you're Philadelphians, but I had a few people, you know, people around my friends, they all know I love the Eagles. They're like, oh, well, why would Russell Wilson want to go play for that fan base. People don't understand.
No, they don't know that when you come and play here, they're beloved. People love you.
Exactly. And here's the other thing that maybe you all don't understand living over there. Obviously, maybe New York or Boston are the only two cities that could compare to Philadelphia.
Pretty comparable.
The geographic footprint of Bronco Nation is huge. It's basically the Mountain Time Zone. I mean, think of Las Vegas, Kansas City, Dallas, Arizona. Those are the closest pro teams to that city.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously Denver is not as harsh as Philly, but it's a big area that loves the Broncos. And they, you know, I was complaining in 2020 about, oh, the Eagles, since we won the Super Bowl, we haven't done anything. The Broncos literally have not had a winning season since they won the Super Bowl in 2015.
Yeah, with
and they've lost to the Chiefs every time they played them since 2015. So this guy's under pressure. I'm telling you.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, though. Nobody would have predicted that Russell would be this bad.
I hear you. I'm just saying, if I don't know what was in his mind, but if part of it was, like some people say, oh, he wanted to go to a place where he wouldn't feel pressure.
He's feeling pressure.
Broncos Nation is big. Not as crazy as Eagles Nation, but Broncos Nation is not far below. And I'm telling you, they got the Chiefs coming up next weekend.
Yeah.
And, anyway, but I guess the other thing, speaking of people that don't understand things, is I think people really underestimate this offensive line who don't follow Eagles. And I think it's hard for people to believe that Jalen Hurts has improved as much as he has. And so I think that's why nationwide people just don't believe in the Eagles the way we do. Because I'm not disrespecting the Vikings or the Cowboys or the 49ers. I think those are legit teams. But I just feel like the Eagles' O-line and Jalen.
Yeah,
I know the O-line today had a ton of penalties.
Yeah, they did. But they
so consistent, so great.
You know? I agree with you. I think nationally, I appreciate the phone call, Dan. I think nationally, you see now every week, if you're watching, they're one of the top stories that they touch on in that first block.
You're building out an entire segment to talk about the Eagles because they're 11-1 now. Now you got to give them some acknowledgement because they could run away with the number one seed.
When we come back, I got to tell you my favorite feature that I watched this morning. So it was going into today's action. And I'll sit there all morning and watch the different shows and click around. I love that some people still do human interest stories.
I'm a big pregame show guy for that reason.
Okay.
I'd love to hear about this.
Yes. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm Ray Dunn and Dan Fritz with you here on this Sunday evening following the Eagles' 11th win of the season, 35-10 over the Titans, 11-1 as they head to week 13 against the Giants.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.